Let's dive right into our subject matter tonight. You know, I was thinking the other day, of course, we're talking about understanding storms and why we have certain encounters in our lives as Christians. We're trying to, and I think it makes sense to talk about those kinds of things, because whenever we begin to experience some particular kind of trials or whatever, we try to find reason and understanding in what's happening all about us. And if we are not kingdom-minded people, then of course we're going to do like so many Christians do. We're going to relegate whatever's going on in our lives in some way our being at fault. We're good at condemning ourselves. And if that's not in season, then we look over our shoulder. Praise the Lord. And just hopefully you're not nearby. Amen. But it makes a lot of sense, you know, if I can use that term, because we like to talk in spiritual terms, because we don't judge by sight, right? Now, Habakkuk said, righteous man shall live out of his faith. And the New Testament says we walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't want to use that term in the wrong sense, but it really does make sense to ask some questions about the various things that you face in life. Now, let me just put it this way. Some of you may have had reoccurrences of certain type of trials. Reoccurrences of some sort of a dream, right? And now I'm talking about things that would trouble you, right? I know there are times when you can have a reoccurrence of a dream or something like that, and God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to bring something to you, and he's needing you to get it, all right? But we're talking about things that are relative to storms, troubles, trials, some type of test, you know, some tribulation of sorts, all right? And the reason we want to do that is because we've come to learn through the scripture that these things for a kingdom citizen is not coincidental. It's not coincidental. Our lives are not just like everybody else's. We have purpose. We have a destiny. God has a prescribed way by which he wants us to live. That's why he's given us his word, right? And so what we're hearing by way of messages through our study in the Bible and God's personal words to our lives help to shape the kind of view that we have. You could say a biblical worldview, a kingdom of God worldview, right? The Word of God, the communication that we are getting that's coming to us, helps to shape the kind of view that we have when it comes to life, right? And this is another reason why, you know, the folk that you hang around with makes such a difference in whether you make your destinations in the destinies, the prescribed moeds, those holy appointments of God or not, right? Because you can literally have someone through their worldview, whatever view they may have, on their conversation, and then you develop in a conversation to agree with them, you can literally talk yourself out of the will of God. You can talk yourself out of what God has ordained for your life. Right? Now, this happens in several ways. It can happen in the course of a day. Right? It can happen through a habitual practice of saying the wrong kinds of things over a long period of time. This is another one of those revelations that have to do with why bad things happen to good people. Because good people foul things up just like bad people. Primarily in the kingdom, you know, it's the way we're living, and I can touch on a lot of things when I talk about the way we're living, but you can, through your speech, in a habitual manner, say certain things over a long period of time that will be the reason why you find yourself in an accident. You can find yourself ill. You can find yourself with poor finances. You can find yourself in a lot of these places that are commonplace for people that don't know God. Amen? Now see now, depending upon your biblical or kingdom view, you're already saying something to yourself like, well, you know, the Bible says that God causes the sun to rise up on the righteous and the unrighteous. He does. In other words, God gives every person an opportunity. It's up to you what you make of it. Are you with me now? You see, what you're learning in the Word is shaping your biblical worldview, your kingdom view of who you are in God's plan for the eternal ages even to come. Now, if that is in line like it should be, what we're learning then is that we need to speak in terms of agreement with what God has laid out in the Scripture about us. Now, we need to speak in terms of agreement. See, now think about this. The premise for your salvation is that of a covenant. Right? It's a covenant that was ratified, that was made legal for you through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He shed his blood for our salvation. That was a covenant agreement that you entered into. Now you think about covenants. You go all the way back to Abram, who became Abraham. And when he entered into that blood covenant, now God did a lot of things in Abram's life before he became Abraham. He did a lot of things in his life. He blessed him. He talked to him. He made promises to him. And then he brought him to a particular point in time when he gave him directions to fillet some animals raw with blood running, lay them out so that God himself in person could come and have a meeting with him. And he said it that, well, in a sense, he was suspended. His natural senses were suspended, but he was fully cognizant. He understood what was going on around him. Now, if God hadn't done, the Bible says he went into a deep sleep, right? Okay, well, you're talking about someone speaking in terms that didn't have the vocabulary that we have today to really explain someone going into a state where they're fully cognizant of what's going on around them, but their senses are totally suspended so that they can't panic, they can't fear, they don't get overly excited in one way or the other. They're just there. And they're able to take it all in. This is what it means when Abraham went into a deep sleep. Because God doesn't put you out to do something to you or in you. What does he do? He speaks to you out of the Bible and he tells you what he wants for your life. You're fully awake and you're aware of what he's saying. Sometimes you might be knocked out, you know, when God touches you. But you know what? Most of the time when a person goes out in the power, there's something going on in the spirit and they're aware of it. And they can come out of it and tell you I don't know what happened, but I tell you, I saw this and I went to this place and all these things are going on. See? So this is what happened with him. So God came to him, and the Bible says that Abram looked and he saw this fiery, what does the Bible call it? Like a torch, like a flame of fire that was going through the midst of that sacrifice and walking in it. Well, he was seeing God in his spirit form. You know, the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. So he sees God walking in. Well, what was God doing? God was cutting covenant with Abram. He had made him promises. He had blessed him. He had provided for him. He brought him up to that particular point. But now we need to make covenant. Because when I make covenant with you, this is going to seal it, buddy. Right? This is going to seal everything that I've been dealing with you about. And it's going to be done in such a way that you will never get over it. That sounds like salvation, doesn't it? I don't care how many times you backslide. You just can't get over it. You've been saved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can get upset with God because of certain things and misunderstanding or a lack of teaching in your life. And you can get angry with him for a while and you can walk away. Let me tell you something. All he's got to do is speak one word to you and you've broken again. You're right back in the kingdom. You know? You know, you huff and you puff and you do your thing for a while, but when that conviction comes, it's just like it was in the beginning. There's no devil in hell that can keep you from God. And so what he did, he made it so real to Abram that it was done. There was no way he could ever think in terms of going back or believing anything other than what God had made real to him. Why was that so important? Because everything was going to ride on the obedience of this man. Everything. God sought for a man to cut covenant with that was, this was B.C. This is before Christ. Right? And now you've got individuals, you got the individual, the man of the hour, Adam, who failed. What's God seeking to do? God's going to recover what he said he was going to do in the first place. He's not giving up on what he said. He's not going to turn his back on what he said. He made this promise to mankind. So now mankind's been corrupted. Adam has failed. He's out of the garden. A flaming torch sword is placed there at the entrance of the garden, so that no one can get to the tree of righteousness, you know, everlasting life. No one can get to that because there's an angel there guarding that place. Because if you partake of that in a sinful state, you'd just be destroyed. Right? And God's not seeking the destruction of anybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God's not interested in destruction at all. He's not interested in destruction at all. That is not a part of his nature. See? So here you have God seeking a man that he can start this process over. This is since the fall. That he can start this process over because there have been promises that have been made. The very promise of the Messiah coming is contingent upon somebody being willing to obey God to the uttermost. In the garden, he makes the promise to Eve, your seed shall crush the head of the serpent. Right? They knew full well what God was saying. And Adam may have fallen. He may have missed the mark. But you're talking about genius, brilliance to the uttermost. This man ain't dumb. He understands what God is saying. And he understands that this represents Satan himself who tricked him out of his blessing. Right? And he understands that there's going to one day come a seed through the loins of his wife that's going to take authority over that serpent and crush his head. That means he's going to bring an end to what has begun and the blessing that was given to Adam being made a curse. That's going to come to an end. See? And so he realizes that. Eve realizes that. And I don't doubt that, you know, a part of the thing that kept him alive for nearly 1,000 years was anticipating that it could happen in his lifetime. Why wouldn't he anticipate that it would happen in his lifetime? Even the apostle Paul thought that Jesus was going to come again in his lifetime. And he saw the Lord and talked to the Lord face to face. See? So 930 years. And most of that, that man had children. he had a lot of children. You couldn't name all of them. You can't get that genealogy. That would be a whole Bible right there, that genealogy. You understand what I'm saying? He had a lot of children. That's where we all came from. You understand? So God is looking for a man that he can reinitiate, ignite all of these promises. He's got to have somebody that will believe. And he seeks out and he finds Abram. Where was Abram living, sweetheart? You know this. This is where he was living, in the country of what we know as Iraq. All right? Of course, his people were worshiping the moon. Yeah. And his family's business was making idols. He was just as heathen as we were. That's encouraging, isn't it? I mean, seriously, it is, because there's so many Christians that want to see themselves as being less than a saint. So many Christians see themselves as being less than a saint. Right? And if you're Catholic, you got to die, and they got to judge whether or not you're going to make it or not at a certain council. So there are very few saints among the Catholics, the way they believe, right? But according to what we learn in the Bible, we're all saints. We're everyone, we're saints. And so what God was doing, seeking a man, reignite to get this plan of his back in motion. And he, in his promise to Abram, makes mention of a seed again. See? And that seed that he's making mention of is the same seed that he prophesied to Eve about. Same seed. The seed, the man, Christ Jesus. The last Adam. See, God is going from this period in the beginning all the way through history to Abram. And then from Abram, he goes all the way up again until he finally gets to a little virgin named Mary. And he finds in her the same kind of characteristics and attributes and character traits that he found in Abram. Because when the angel said to her that she would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to have a child, she might have been, and this question is asked by every one of us today. How are you going to do it, God? Right? Based on the fact I've never lain with a man. I'm a virgin. I've kept myself as the law teaches. I'm walking in righteousness. I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and that holy thing that should be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Right? What did she say? Be it unto me, even as thou hast said. That's the same spirit that was in Abram. Right? Now I'm going to show you something. Because most of the time when we listen to gospel ministry in the body of Christ, we prepare ourselves to work real hard to be like that. Get stirred up. You know what I'm saying? You can get so stirred up, you make yourself miserable trying to be like that. You can't pray enough, right? You fail every time you set out to fast, you just can't make it. Amen. You get excited about giving. Oh, Lord. You just want to give. And then the refrigerator busts. And the balloon is just punched. And you just, all of the air goes out of it. And you're just like, I want to do this. But you can't. And you know why we keep running into things like that? Because Christ has already won all of that for you. You already are that person. You already are a saint. Listen, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the purest form of those character traits that you could possibly ever get. We're not seeking to get anything. What we need to do is be, you know, investigators, be Christian, I got to be careful how I say this now, scientists. We've got to get our microscopes out, right, and test tubes, and we got to get in the Bible and find out what he's given us. And experiment with your faith, right? See, and begin to realize this: God has given me these things. This is in me. This is downloaded in my spirit. Christ in me, the hope of glory. In me now. You ain't gonna get any better than that. You see what I'm saying? But you see, there are things that the Bible tells us to do that agrees with that. Which means you begin to see not only that you have a work that has been done on the inside, but now on the outside that is beginning to be visible, is beginning to be seen because of the way now that you're walking in God, the way you're carrying yourself, the words that are coming out of your mouth, right? See, as you make progress in the things of the Lord, your thoughts begin to change. You don't continue to think the same way as you did before. Your thoughts begin to change, and they kick in immediately when the old man would try to lift himself up and bring up a negative thought or a familiar thought or some habitual thing that you had before, right? Immediately, the renewed mind kicks in and begins to operate. I've seen this happen time and time and time again. I can say I'm making progress because I've been paying attention to the way my mind's been operating. Oh, yeah, I know that. It's true. See? And so, the seed is going to crush the head of Satan. Well, he did. Praise God. I can testify to you that that prophecy has come to pass. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to interject this right here just to encourage you. Look how long it took for what God called that was not as though it were. Look how long it took for God's dream to come to pass. See? Look how long that's been. Biblical scholars believe that as far as 4,000 years. Biblical scholars believe that some 4,000 or 6,000 years that the earth's been, you know, restored when God began to restore the earth. 4,000 years or so, right? And actually, it's 4,000 years for that to come to pass. And then here we are about, I don't know about you, somebody needs to get it right. I've been hearing ever since I've been saved. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. You know what I'm saying? 2,000 years, and I've been saved for 41 years. Okay, 2,041 years. All right, I'll take that. It's been, but haven't you heard that ever since you've been born again, people say, 2,000 years. It's just like, well, you know, that's what we believe, but it's like nobody has really nailed it on the head. My wife has a comment. Yes, yes. That's what I said. I said that. I just said it a different way. But I did say the same thing. Yes. And so you've got all of this time. And look how God has patiently worked with mankind. Right? Recovered us. Recovered his chosen people, the Jews. Reestablished them as a nation. Gave them back Jerusalem. All of these things have come to pass. And look how long a process this has been. How long has it been since God spoke to you about anything? And you've been walking in faith until it comes to pass? Huh? You about to wear each other out. You're just about, you know, you look at your wife after all these years and say, "Oh, woman, we ain't going to get this done." You know, and she looks at you and say, "If I got to depend on you, you old man, we sure ain't." I mean, we look at things so carnally. It's not based on all that. See? God has been determined, and he's used his faith just like he expects you to be determined and use your faith. It isn't any different at all. It really isn't. And we shouldn't look at ourselves. We shouldn't even look in the mirror. Because these bodies are going to go back to the dust from whence it came. Right? See, you convince yourself of how old you are by looking in the mirror and all that other kind of stuff. Right? You are an eternal being. You want to know how old you are? You are an eternal being. You are not what you see in the mirror. That's not you. That's just a vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that right there will save you some money. You going to get all that stuff in them bottles and you know what I'm saying? And that, hey, that Gratian formula and all that stuff. It ain't about that. It's about walking in the power of his might. Amen. I'm serious. Now, if you're a Christian and you own one of them companies, I'm not trying to tear your business down, but we got to have a kingdom view of our lives and what God has called us to. That prophecy has come to pass, and now that that prophecy has come to pass, God expects you and I to engage in what Adam was supposed to have been engaged in and taken all over the world. See? Now, you got to understand, the reason why we encounter storms and trials and tests and tribulation is because the devil wants to get us worldly minded. He wants us to be conscious of our own beings to the point that we are, you know, we're all for number one. If I don't take care of myself, who gonna do it? Don't nobody else love me, you know, or willing to go the extra mile for me to take. I got to take care of myself. I got to do this for myself, right? I've always taken care of myself, you know. That's not the mentality that we're supposed to have. See, we're a church. We got to stop looking at ourselves as individuals. We've got to realize we are the body of Christ. Right? And all of our needs have been dealt with. They're met. You don't, listen, you're rich regardless of what you got in your pocket. You got to understand, you have access to your father's bank account. Now you understand what I'm saying, right? And he said, I'll open the windows of heaven to get it to you. Right? And Paul said that, you know, through Christ Jesus, all of our needs would be met. But it's through him. So the Bible's going to give us parameters. It's going to give us guidelines. And when we walk in that, what are we doing? We're doing everything through Christ. We're doing it through Christ. So now, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he really meant that. The gospel's got to be preached not only to human beings, but the gospel has got to be proclaimed to a city, to a municipality, to a community, to a people group. You understand what I'm saying? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the reason I'm saying that, this is on purpose. I'm not just throwing this out. The reason I'm saying that is because we are a supernatural people. And we are to function in the supernatural of God. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, if I'm mindful of this, if I have a kingdom perspective like I should have, it's not going to be difficult for God to use me like he did Ezekiel. It's not going to be difficult. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Right? The smart answer is, with you, Lord, all things are possible. Because that's the character that you got in you. It's in you. Right? So you might hear something else, but Lord have mercy. Don't say that other negative, unbelieving, doubtful thing. Do not allow that to come out of your mouth. Amen? See? Because it's very important for you to act like Abram, to act like Mary, be it unto me even as you've said, right? It's very important for you to let that character of Jesus come up in you and say, behold, Lord, I'm here. Not my will, but thine be done. That will come out of your spirit, but you've got to consciously be aware now what God's saying about you as a kingdom citizen. Now, if this has become a part of my thinking, and I'm there are things in life that I'm looking at differently because of this message. I'm looking at it differently now. You can't get me in a bad mood over just any old thing like I used to. No, you can't. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen anymore. Because I understand now that I'm not living a life of coincidences anymore. Happens chance. Just a bad thing. You know, no. I don't think like that. I'm on a journey. I'm going into all the world. Now, you can't go into all the world and preach the gospel until you have thought like that first. You can't do it. If you haven't been taught and if you haven't been set up for this, you're not going to get up in the morning and have the attitude that you're going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. You're not going to have that mentality. You're going to be thinking like, oh, God, I got to go such and such a schedule to work with me today. Dear Lord. And what you've done is you've just given power to something that you're dreading so that it can take authority over you. And your master is a possessor of heaven and earth. My Lord. You just going to submit yourself to a spirit of dread? And when you do that, you have just sanctioned that it has power, just like Adam gave authority over to Satan in the garden. You're giving it up. You're giving it up. Now, you know, so the devil is going to make moves stealthily based on what we're giving him. He knows he can't get the blessing back. It turned to a curse when he laid his hands on it. That's why there's havoc and mayhem in Gotham City. That's right. Because he got his hand on the blessing. And that's mayhem. Oh. But did I turn this thing on? I did. Okay. That's why there's just so much mess all over the place. You couldn't have that much mess all over the place except that what he got his hands on was that blessing. And he's the prince and the power of the air. And he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy wherever he can. Now, the devil particularly prizes causing believers problems. Now, you ought to be able to see that with ISIS in the world today wanting to kill all of the Christians and the Jews, Hamas wanting to kill all the Christians and the Jews. See, if America, you know, we've got folk in America today that's saying that we're not a Christian nation. Well, ISIS believe we are. Yeah, you know, our commanding chief says we're no longer a Christian nation. ISIS said, we're coming for you, Obama. Whether you say you want or not, you're the president of it, and we're coming for you. And I hope they don't get him. I want him to get saved. I really do, praying for him. Amen? I want him to really get saved. There's too many people that are saying they're Christians in word only. They're not really saved. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. All right? So we need to pray for them. And God's going to give us time to do some things in our nation because we're here. If he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah if only 10 people had been there, he's giving us time, folks. So we've got to get the revelation. We've got to understand that in going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, we don't not do that because somebody wants to kill all of the Christians. Are you with me? We don't make decisions based on you can't go into that part of the world because they're seeking to kill all Americans and Christians now. You'd just be a sitting duck. You'll stand out like a sore thumb. Let me tell you something. If God says go, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what they know. No deadly thing shall come nigh my dwelling. Come on now. See? Bill Winston was overseas one time, and he was in this country. I think it was in Africa, and he was with this bishop. And he was ministering to the people there, and the bishop was upset, I believe it was, and he was crying and telling him about how that these Islamic people were going in there, and they were, I mean, these beautiful young black women, these guys were cutting their hands off, cutting their feet off, and just making them maim. He said they could have been models. They were so attractive. And they were just upset about that. And Bill was going, man, you know, and the Lord spoke to him. Say, wait a minute. He said, now that's a bad situation. But I'm made for bad. Now that's what God said to him. He said, I can grow hands back on those bodies. I can grow feet back on those bodies. You see, now this is where the church is getting weak and has been weak for years. Ministers don't want to preach about that stuff because they think they're going to be required to act in that way and believe for it. Yes, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Right? Okay. You want to slay a giant? Do you? Would you like to be a giant slayer? Anybody in the house? Then guess what you got to do? You got to stop hanging around and letting people pour into your life that's being whooped by midgets. Being overcome by dwarfs. Right? And demonic spirits that's just in basic training. You ain't even faced the big one yet. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to be a giant slayer, then you got to hang out with giant slayers. See? David, just a lad. I mean, he goes down to take some cheeses and some crackers, you know, down to his brothers, like daddy told him to do. And Goliath's prancing up and down out there, defying God and defying the armies of Israel. Said, send me a man. And whoever wins, you know, we'll just submit to them. You know, we'll give up the Philistines to you if you win. And if you don't, then you submit to us. And he's like, what's going on? He don't understand why everybody's acting like cowards. Now, where did he get that kind of faith from? Doing what God told him to do. A minuscule, simple job of shepherding sheep. And we got folk that come to church today, they don't want to humble themselves to help vacuum the carpet or cut the grass, do anything. I'm just going to church there. Y'all just have to find somebody to do that. Well, God ain't going to speak to you to slay no giant. Because you don't want to sweep up the cockroaches. They're not going to speak to you to do nothing big. You're not willing to humble yourself and submit yourself. Right? He not. Why should he? David's out there in old dirty, nasty, hot, sweaty. Can't take no need of taking deodorant. He ain't going to do you no good out there. Ain't no need of taking no change of clothes with that job. And yet he's out there writing spiritual songs, fellowshipping with God, loves God as a teenager, just loves God. So much so, when God said, you can take that lion, he believes it and does it. You can take that bear, go get that lamb out of that bear's mouth. And he does it. He did that through intimate fellowship with God. Nobody out there, nobody. Listen, Abraham, come out from among them. I want to have a conversation with you. David's out there in the fields. Nobody but him and the sheep. Sheep don't talk. He got to talk to somebody. Talk to God. God talks back. Whoa. Builds into him something that he couldn't get in the synagogue. I never thought about this before till I was listening to another preacher. But here, David is in the same position Joseph is in. All of them brothers up there. You know, it's believed that David was a stepchild, that he wasn't really related to them other brothers. And that's why Jesse didn't call him in, because he wanted one of his blood boys, you know, to be the one that Samuel would anoint. So yeah, I'm not thinking about this child that I had. I'm you know, I could be wrong in it through my concubine. Well, you know, they had, right, secondary wives. So, you know, I'm not calling him. These are my boys through my God-given wife. You know, my prosperity got the concubine. Isn't that right? I mean, might as well be upfront about it. And the only one that I know of that, I don't know this unless somebody gives us some information on it, that just kept one wife, and she's a good one to have had all them children. And that was Eve. There's no mention of Adam having no other wives that I know of. You'd have to get into some of those writings like Josephus and some of them boys to find out. You know, you like,
Surely he must have had.
Well, she didn't have everybody that was on the planet, but she had a lot of children, and then they had children, right? That's where the multiplication come from. But the fact remains, he had a lot of kids. And if he lived to be 930 years old, how old was she when she died? Y'all ready for me to get to the other point? I'm going to the other one. Going on over yonder. I'm going. And today, what did they tell you? You get to be 40, 41 years old now. You're getting too old to have any children. Cursed! Yeah, that's what it is. See? But when you get into the Word of God and you renew your mind, don't let nobody tell you what you can and can't do. You let the Lord speak to you. Lord, help me to recapture this thing. Get back over yonder. Praise God. So, all right, Lord, help me. So, you have, we, the body of Christ, commissioned by Jesus, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, you know, he that believeth, you know, shall be saved, and is baptized shall be saved, right? Salvation is doing what? Giving those that listen, those that will hear the gospel, gives them an opportunity to be brought into that very blessing that Adam operated in, that Abram operated in, that Eve operated in, and that we're operating in. It gives them an opportunity to be reestablished in the favor of God, this blessing. Which means, now watch this. I think I may have said this before, but you see, you are a carrier of the blessing. That's why the scripture says, wherever your soles of your feet shall go, you can take dominion. Now, that's a very specific word about the regional authority that God gives to us as believers. You have a job, you have authority there. That doesn't mean that you tell your boss what to do. Hopefully you are the boss. But that doesn't mean that you tell your CEO. Hopefully you are the CEO. But that doesn't mean you tell those people what to do. But you still, under cover of the anointing, have authority. And what others can't do, you can do. You can bring life. You can bring health. Right? You can bring deliverance. You can do it right there where you are, just like David out there in those fields, communicating with God. He did his job and he kept those sheep safe. And God was teaching him profound lessons about being a shepherd, because he was going to become the shepherd of Israel itself. So that was necessary. So the minuscule, the simple, mundane thing that someone asks you to do, you can learn the most profound lesson. That's why God checks you in your manner by which you go about doing what you're doing. If you have a bad attitude in doing the most simple, dirty, whatever it is, because it's a kingdom of God thing and you're doing it for the Lord. If your attitude ain't right, you're missing something from God. You might clean the daylights out of them windows, but you missed something because you didn't want to do it. Because of your attitude. See, you don't read that in the David story. He had a loving heart. So he's out there with the crackers and the cheese. And here Goliath is walking back and forth, making his boast. And somebody slips up and says, you know what? The king said if whoever would go out and whoop that big old ugly thing, that he would make him tax-free, he could marry his daughter, and even his family would be tax-free. David said, shut your mouth. You say, what? And he said, this is too good to believe. He went and asked somebody else. They told him the same thing. Yes, sir. He got that thing confirmed. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine anyhow? Right? He done started thinking about lions and bears and the Spirit of God coming on him supernaturally. He said, that Philistine to be just like the lion and the bear that God used me to overcome. God built him up. The word got back to Saul. Why do you think the word got back to Saul about some ruddy little old teenager making a boast about going out there to kill that giant when them big old ugly men was too scared to go do it? Why in the world would they tell Saul, a king? What some little teenager said? Because they had a stalemate. They ain't going nowhere. Even if that boy have to sacrifice his life to do something, we need to move. Get him out there. Huh? And see, even his own brothers said, boy, what you come down here for? You're just nosy. Take your, get out there with them little dirty sheep where you belong. They didn't even see him as a man. They felt the way of, and the reason I brought that up is they felt the same way about David as the brothers of Joseph felt about him. Right? Remember now, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Right? You got saved. You the first one in your family got saved. Everybody hated your guts. And you despised that you wanted them to love you. You're in the same place. You're no different. See? The majority is against us. We're the black sheep. You know? We're ruddy, freckle-faced. You understand what I'm saying? Alfalfa. That's what we're looked at like. Hey, man, can't get that hair laid out for nothing. That's what we're looked at like. And God sees a mighty champion on the inside of that homely, skinny, or whatever. He sees a champion in there. Hallelujah. And you see, Jesus gives us that commission, and it is no different from the commission that God gave Adam. He said, you're blessed. Take dominion. Right? He said, replenish the earth. Now, did anything in the garden need to be replenished? No. In the garden. In the garden. Nothing, everything was nothing missing, nothing broken. Adam didn't even have a pick. He just looked at that and said, I think I own some coin today. Let's see. You know what? Eve, I don't know what. I think I just got a yearning for some crowd of peas. I've been thinking about some collards. Let's put them together. And before the day is over, they got collard greens and crowd of peas. It didn't take that long for anything to grow in the garden. It was under the blessing. Everything's struggling now. By degree, everything has gone down to about 1 or 2% compared to what it was then. You see, we're having to pump stuff in the soil. He didn't have no fertilizer. You hear what I'm saying? They didn't have that stuff. It was all there. So Adam said, and it was. Just like God said, and it was. Same thing. Now, what you and I are supposed to do is to see that the same power is in the gospel. It's in the gospel. And God is waking the church up to realize, as kingdom citizens, we are under the same commission. We got it with different words, but it's the same revelation. Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Right? Cast the devil out. But wait a minute. He said preach the gospel to every creature. So we can cast the devil out of a municipality. That's a creature thing. That's a created thing. We can cast the devil out of a community. That's what he wants us to do. Right? Now, the way you go about doing it, you got to go back to Ezekiel again. Can this community live? Can the Lordship of Jesus come over this street that I've adopted, and I'm going to know everybody in it and make sure everybody is healed, make sure everybody is fed, make sure everybody is clothed? I'm going to be better than the government. They're going to look at me like I'm Mr. Welfare. You understand what I'm saying? I go with that kind of determination. Well, if I'm going to go to the trouble to do outreach, then I better be in prayer about it. I better get the mind of Christ on it. And then I can prophesy. I can say what I want on my adopted street. This is what I want. Because God will give me the desire of my heart. I want all those people healed. Can I mention this again, what we're talking about? This is the reason why storms come to believers. Because the devil wants to stir up as much dust as he can to keep the message from getting to you. The devil is trying his best to stir up as much as he can to keep you from thinking like Jesus thought. This is the mind of Christ. Jesus sent his disciples out by two in the places that he was going to go preach before he ever went there. He's getting the will of God on places, and he said, now that's one that God has chose for me to go into. I want Matthew and Mark, I want you two to go in there, and I want you to go in and do what I told you to do and prepare the place. Kind of like, you know, Moses said, go spy out the land. Go see what's in there. Get a good look at what's going on. See what people are doing. See what the mindset is. In other words, be observant. Be aware of what kind of curse is on the place. Get a feel for the demonic oppression that's there. You become aware of what's going on. Jesus knew what he was in for before he went into the gathering. He knew what he was in for. He knew that there was a regional principality in that area. And Lord have mercy. Those things, when those demonic forces take over, they affect how everybody in the community thinks. Let me give you just a really simple illustration. You might work in a place that's plagued by gossip. How many of you ever worked in a place that's been plagued by gossip? Oh, Lord. Have you noticed how fast bad news travels? It's the same everywhere. That's a principality. That principality, as long as he is in force, he is going to shoot that information through that place so fast because he wants everybody thinking the same thing. What is he doing? He's looking for agreement. Where any two of you agree is touching anything. He's looking for agreement. If he can get agreement, if he can get all of you saying the same lie, you setting him up to come in with some of his buddies so he can bring havoc. See? When you have regional demonic spirits in control, it controls the mindset of the people in the community. I guarantee you, in some of the outreach that you're doing, you go into some of these places with these poor people, you'll hear some of the same statements from the same groups of people as if they've talked to each other about it. You'll hear the same kind of statements because that regional demonic spirit in that area where you're going is convincing everybody ain't nothing good going to ever happen on this deadbeat street. Right? Don't nobody care about us on this deadbeat street. All of them old fine people out there in them big old fine churches, they don't care nothing about nobody down here. Come down here and give us a couple of pieces of fish and a loaf of bread and they think they done something. They ain't done nothing. They ain't helping me. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's not, you haven't, and this is a good point to make as we close. You haven't fully preached the gospel until you've allowed the supernatural of God to do something to confirm what you've been saying. We're interested in feeding the poor, clothing the naked. Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. That's a good ministry. But that hasn't answered the question in that sinner's life yet. Their questions are not going to be answered until your word of knowledge, your word of wisdom, your laying on of hands, your casting out the devil, your peace coming into their household as you enter into it. There's got to be the supernatural of God flowing out of you to answer their life's question. It's not going to come by just good works. So as we go out, folks, we've got to talk about this more and more. Isn't it exciting? We've got to talk about this more and more because our mentality's got to be different. You can't go out expecting not to run into trouble and have just a good old happy fine time with the sinners. There's some folk out there got some demon spirits. And this one man at the gatherings was the epicenter for all of those demons, legion of demons that controlled a whole municipality. That one man housed them. They don't need a whole lot of people to be in control. They just need a place for all of them to come, right? And you could run across one person like that, get them free, and bring life to a whole community. That's what happened in that case. Jesus left that man, and the Bible says when he came back, they brought people from everywhere to hear what Jesus had to say. Because that man did the job of testifying and letting the people know what Christ had done for him. He was free now, and they knew he was free because he had did everything that he could to terrorize the whole community. Them demons were scaring the daylights out of everybody. The wolf man is on the street tonight. It's a full moon, and my God, don't send your kids out. Tie the dog, put the cat up, and you better take the milk cow and put him in the stall. I'm telling you, he has scared that cow so bad you won't have butter for 6 weeks. Praise God. Okay. It's nothing like closing on a light note. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is some serious stuff, isn't it? But we are eligible, we are capable, we are well able to take these places for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and just allow the Holy Spirit to